This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by the nation's favourite dish, Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott.
Someday I'll say that and we won't burst into laughter. That'll be when you know it's an accepted thing. Speaking of accepted things, Resident Evil 3 Remake is real, JB.
Woo!
We kind of knew this was coming months ago. We covered it in regards to a leak from this person called EvilVR, kind of this Twitter account that used to always let us know or let the world know when Resident Evil things were coming. He kind of got flagged, or they kind of got flagged and said, stop revealing things ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so they kind of went away. But we've known that this was coming for a long time, alongside Resident Evil 8. But the new information comes from YouTuber Spawnwave, saying that they're aware that Resident Evil 3 Nemesis Remake is coming for 2020, which was then corroborated by Eurogamer, who wrote it up and said, yep, that lines up with what we know as well, which is kind of all you need to confirm that it's coming.
And I guess that's sort of the biggest, answer to the question of what is coming next for Resident Evil, because even back when Evil VR was doing the rumours, it was apparently up in the air which was coming first. Was it going to be Resident Evil 3, or was it going to be Resident Evil 8? Everything sort of seemed to point towards another remake, which makes sense considering, you know, it essentially just makes use of the foundation that 2 built. But to have this confirmed and locked in, presumably the last Resident Evil game of the generation, I think it's a nice way to, you know, just see the generation out and get Resident Evil on a high, excited for what's coming next. But I do have my doubts. Anyway, that's enough for me interrupting you. Tell me more.
Well, I want to get to the doubts because I think it's a weird turnaround. I thought they would wait a hell of a lot longer because we know that they've got Project Resistance coming, which was like their online multiplayer Resident Evil Outbreak type thing. But when they were talking about it, they were like, oh, we're going to show it off and we're going to let people play it. And based on the reception to that, we'll decide whether or not we actually go forward with it or not. And then Resident Evil 8, assumedly, will be another first person thing. But for now, they're doing another third-person thing in the style of Resident Evil 2. And it's strange, because if you look back across the last few years, they just did Umbrella Corps as well, without the Resident Evil name on it. But at least, like, you know, trying another sort of genre, what can Resident Evil be? And I think it's a weird conversation. It's like this. It's almost like Capcom aren't necessarily sure what the through-line Resident Evil should be.
Yes.
So they're trying these other sort of nostalgic plays while they have the engine for it.
Well, that is the big question, and I do think that's why we're seeing so many different Resident Evil projects coming at once, because obviously everyone loved 2's remake and sort of saw it as a resurgence for the franchise in general. It proved that you could have the third-person camera and the classic lore without sacrificing, you know, the scares and survival horror approach that 7 went back to. But at the same time, Resident Evil is also defined by, you know, change and revolution. All throughout its history, we've gone from the tank controls, fixed camera of the original games to 4, then to 7. So change has always been kind of part of its DNA and trying new things. So for me, if they, as good as 2 was, and I'm sure as good as 3 is going to be, if they do kind of regress to a classic idea of Resident Evil 4, 8, I would be a bit disappointed, because now we have the space to get the classic sort of, you know, style and formula with these remakes and with, you know, other spin-offs, whereas I do want the core franchise to progress and try new things, because in my opinion, this is a great way to have your cake and eat your tea. You get the main series constantly evolving while you still get the classic Resident Evil kick of 2 and 3 remake.
But you are someone who likes Resident Evil 6.
Well,
I don't know if this is the best way to go.
Well, I wasn't expecting that dagger in the back for one, but
that's not a dagger in your back. That's the dagger that you fully wield.
Right, okay. Resident Evil 6, I like is a strong word around these parts. Resident Evil 6, I appreciate and have a guilty pleasure.
Time of death, 10:44
Yeah, no, I'm gone. This is the entire week written off. But you know what? My thing with Resident Evil 6 is, I appreciate for what it is. Do I hell want the franchise to, you know, even remotely resemble Resident Evil 6 going forward. Yes. I like that it exists. I like it more.
Yes.
And we've moved past it.
No. My overall point was just that idea of them sort of steering into the change. And I think that they went down a weird route after RE4 and they were like, okay, we kind of have this new potential vision for the franchise, this action-heavy thing that 5 sort of embraced initially, and then 6 was just completely off the rails and ridiculous. 6 is totally fine if you want to go down that route. It just doesn't feel like a Resident Evil game.
Yes.
Not against you, but I just mean in terms of the way that it went. And so when you're going forward, 7 felt like this weird deviation into like Amnesia or like Slenderman style territory, which obviously PT kind of got the jump on, but then Capcom were like, oh, we were doing this anyway before PT was a thing. And so they ended up going forward with this sort of like, you know, corridor crawly first person thing. But for me, that always felt like a weird experiment to see if it would stick. Mm. And because Resident Evil 2 then outsold it, or at least was received incredibly way more warmly, and I'm sure its launch weekend sales were way higher than RE7, for me, that's Resident Evil. And I think that it was such a reminder of like, yeah, this is what you guys should be doing. And so like, I like that they're still sort of ticking the nostalgia box and being like, okay, you can have RE3 and it'll be like RE2 in terms of the way that it plays, assumedly. But for me, like, if you're going to, like, the overall franchise, the first person thing I felt was like a weird deviation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I totally get that. With me, I feel like it's safer for Capcom to have two different sort of strands of, you know, it's what Resident Evil kind of is, because although you are right that Resident Evil 6 went down this more action-heavy route, it also annoyingly tried to please everyone, even though it didn't. Like, the intention was to create a survival horror experience with Leon's campaign, to have the action of Resident Evil 5 carry over to Chris's, and then try this weird thing that didn't quite work with Jake in his kung fu fighting martial arts skills, which didn't, you know, please anyone. The entire game was a bloated mess that didn't appeal to any Resident Evil fan. No one wanted to buy it. And to me, I'm worried that will happen again, not on that scale, but if you go to Resident Evil 8 and you think, and Capcom start picking apart what people apparently like about the franchise and they start, you know, trying to meld all that together into one product that pleases everyone, I don't think they will please everyone. Whereas
maybe
this way that you can have, again, the classic experience, classic isn't a word, but I'm going to use it
now
for the purposes of this video, the classic experience mixed with the first person of Resident Evil 8, because even though I agreed that it wasn't as warmly received as the 2 remake, I want to see them at least have one more go at it.
Right, because
it was a nice experiment to sort of build the foundations, and then hopefully you would assume that they could make something very special on top of it with a sequel and improve what they might have gotten wrong. For me, it feels a bit premature to just, you know, have that one experiment and then slice it off and say, no, we're going back to basics.
I'm sure there was something in regards to RE7, the way it was marketed overseas, didn't have the number 7 with it.
It didn't, no.
I'm sure it was just Biohazard or whatever, and which makes me think that they could sort of just retcon it and be like, yeah, we did this thing and don't worry about it, and now we're getting back to like the way that the franchise kind of hit its peak with RE4 in terms of the most people that were playing it and whatever. Speaking of things that people love, though, obviously Mr. X is a big part of RE2.
Yes.
And the way that he was implemented in the RE2 remake immediately made me think of Nemesis anyway. So it's like, which is to say, like, you know, like if you think of archetypal Resident Evil villains that chase you through levels and just can't be stopped and, you know, forever provide like a threat or whatever, Nemesis is the mecha of that for me. And RE3 was the very first Resident Evil that I played like almost all the way through. So I have like warmer, fonder memories of that. Because a lot of people don't rate RE3 because of the fact that it does have Nemesis and it kind of, it's not as intense as 2 and stuff. Where do you come down on like 3 in general?
Well, I like it because it wasn't originally supposed to be a numbered Resident Evil game. That sort of came later on in the development. It was supposed to be a kind of spin-off, and you do feel that throughout the game. It tries a few new interesting things, but also relies heavily on, you know, settings and environments that were in previous games. It isn't the jump that Resident Evil 1 to 2 is.
No.
But I do think there is space to build upon it in a remake in a way that could make it, you know, more special, improve on those faults, especially now you said you've got the Mr. X technology down. That should lend itself to an even more robust Nemesis system. Because even though he was great at the time, he only really showed up a handful of times, and there wasn't much dynamism to when he appeared. You know, you could almost guarantee when he was going to show up. And that was awesome then, but I feel like if you really double down on that idea that he's the predator and you're the prey, and you don't know when he's going to, you know, come for you, that could be great. I only worry that they might have, for lack of a better term, blown their load on Mr. X already. You've already got
maybe
that experience, you know what I mean? Will people want that again? I think they will.
And I mean, some people kind of complain that, like, after a while with the Mr. X stuff, you just want to get to that point and do the puzzle, and you can't. You've got to kite him around the mansion and go all the way back again to sort of, like, give yourself enough birth so you can actually finish the thing that you're trying to do. Nemesis, in theory, is an entire game of that, or at least it is for, like, big chunks of it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think gets overlooked with RE3 is that they had those really cool, like, decision-making 50-50 moments, where, like, the game goes to super slow motion, the camera, the aesthetic of the screen like inverts, and it's like, okay, you start getting the heartbeat and the ticking clock or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you need to make a very specific decision in the moment because Nemesis is running towards you. Do you go out the door? Do you try and go out this other way? And I never think that RE3 gets the respect for that, because I loved that when I was a kid. I thought that was an incredible way to just, you know, make a decision right now. You're about to get killed. Which way are you going to go? And that's sort of like, you know, that can, in a remake, could sort of give you an excuse to explore different parts of the level that you didn't get to before, or at least give you more agency in how you're exploring Raccoon City.
Yeah.
Which I'm a big fan of them doing more with that stuff.
I would like that a lot, because I think as good as Resident Evil 2's remake was, I feel like they might have missed a trick with linking the two campaigns more. Like, they could have had similar decisions there, whether you wanted to, you know, leave specific items for the other person or something like that, and have it interlink a bit more than it did. I know there was some of that in there, but for me, not as much as it could have been. And they still felt like very distinct, separate campaigns, like that you didn't really have to play in any specific order. Mm-hmm. And I do think that sort of decision making that can weave it all the way through would make it more replayable and also give you, you know, a different sort of experience.
Yeah, you make a hell of a point, because that was one of the things comparing it to the PS1 Resident Evil 2. Like, they were way more defined campaigns between Chris and
Claire.
Chris and Claire. We played this game.
No, it's Leon and Claire.
Leon and Claire.
Completely wrong.
It was back in January. But that was the whole thing, though. In the PS1 one, they were way more defined campaigns, and like, there was a reason to go do both. And like you said, you could leave items for each other. They nigh on got rid of that in the remake, and to the point where whichever character you're playing, it just retcons whatever happens in the other. Like, cutscenes play out differently, and like perspectives don't actually line up when you start playing with both characters. And I think that's, I don't know how much that's indicative of the turnaround on this, because like, if this is ready for 2020, that's obviously only 1 year later than the RE2 remake, which maybe means that they've been doing them both in tandem the whole time. But I hope that they're not cutting corners. Like, I don't, that wasn't a massive standout negative for me with the RE2 remake, but I've seen people talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, Resident Evil 2 was so polished otherwise, and I do worry that if you turn around another game in a year, even though the foundations are there, like I said earlier, like Resident Evil 3, the original, used a lot of assets from Resident Evil 2, so you imagine that would be the same going forward. Mm-hmm. But if I had my way, and it's a tragedy that I don't, I would maybe wait a bit longer and try to make, you know, Resident Evil 3 not the same as it was back then. There's no reason why you have to reuse the same sort of assets and stuff.
No.
You could do it, you know, bigger and better than it was potentially. You could put more effort into it. You could tweak it rather than just pumping out, you know, Resident Evil 2 again with a new setting and a new hero and a new villain. That would be awesome. Mm-hmm, and it would still sell, but part of why I love Resident Evil 2 so much is that it felt fresh, it felt energetic, and I worry that if you just copy the template over and knock out another game in a year, for as excited as I am, might that be a problem?
I'm going to hope that they've had it in the oven for a long time. But yeah, I think that it's on them to sort of show what they can do with the Nemesis tech, other than just replicating what happened with Mr. X. I have one question to end this on, though, Josh.
Come on, then.
Why the hell is it not Dino Crisis? Why the living hell have I not got a nice 4K T-Rex breathing down the face coming through the window?
We can only hope, Scott. You know what I mean? The next generation is coming next year. Hopefully, in my heart of hearts, Capcom has that plan. Because maybe they'll follow it up with it.
You mentioned that they've said that they're considering other remakes, and I'm like, considering? The only thing that you need to do is literally this. Like, what else are you going to remake? Devil May Cry? No. Just did a sequel. Do Dino Crisis. Give us Regina, whatever she's called. It's not Regina Spektor. I think that's someone else. I don't know. Just called Regina someone. She had red hair and she was awesome. There was a T-Rex in it.
You evidently love it very much.
I did.
While we're on it, I would actually like a remake of Devil May Cry 1, because that game is really good, but it's very rough around the edges.
Oh!
And you could do it even better. I played it, enjoyed it. Make it good. Don't know what this is, but do it well, Capcom.
Yes, we'll pass this over to you, and let us know what you think down in the comments below of a new Resident Evil mainline game. Oh, Resident Evil 3 remake as well. What would you want from the future of the series? And do you want Dino Crisis instead? Because I do, alongside Onimusha. For now, though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.